I started to tell you what I told about this preacher. I said, I'm really disturbed that the Jerusalem church had people being added every day. He said, well, son, look, that was the whole church. I said, look, elder, there wasn't but one church in the world, and it was at Jerusalem. There was only one local assembly when that remark was made. This is your mark congruent with the progress and the propensity of the local assembly. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It was talking about one local church in Jerusalem, Israel. It is really within our potential that our whole local assembly gets somebody new in its office and in its advance on a daily basis. Throughout the year, it's really a possibility. Look on the fields and see. Look at the fields. Again, an agricultural view. Look at the fields and see that they are white already under harvest. That's not lyrics. That's not poetry. That's the way things are. They are white now. They are ripe. They're ready. They will keep taken at this stage. They are ripe. If we're waiting for a crushing, glorious revival to come from more romantic preachers, we're looking at the wrong end of the tube. Someone says we're waiting on a Billy Graham to come. We're waiting on our own T.L. Osborne. We're waiting on our own so-and-so. I'm not. Jesus was a storyteller. He said there was this farmer who had a vineyard. It was of an impressive volume and size, so much so he couldn't think of doing it himself. Get that, pastor friend? He couldn't think of it doing it himself. You never see him in the field cutting grapes. You see him going to the employment hall. But he went to the hall and kept asking for people. He went early. The day came, he said, man, what tons and tons and tons of quality table grapes we've got here. Wonderful. It worked. Now I've got to get them in. So he goes to the hall and he finds men there who are ready to work. He doesn't say, mooba-ba-ba-hooba-ba-ba-hooba, is there some way you could be convinced to go to work today? He just said, Mac, Bill, George, you want to work? Yes, sir. The people are willing to work. The saints love to be soul winners. They love to be involved. In this, you either use them or lose them. And they want to be participating. It's good. It's glorious. It's got momentum. It's working. And they want to be a part. Oh, how I'd be crushed if I had several children and one of my little thin girls stood over by the wall as we sat down to eat. And she said, Daddy, can I eat? Daddy, is there no place for me to sit? Daddy? And our saints feel that way. We say, well, I can't get nobody to do anything. That's poor, poor, poor thinking. You need an ocular transmission here. You need to look at things different. The people want to work. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. Your saints will get more consecrated. They'll get more orderly. They'll get more obedient, more submissive as they are put in meaningful places of work where they fit, where they want to work. I'm not looking for God to send revival by extra powerful preachers. I'm looking for it to come by common, ordinary, run-of-the-mill, but numerous saints. Samson sometimes had bad fits. Sometimes he just lost his temper. And he just had it in for a bunch of Philistines, and he said, look, there's 100 acres of wheat. That's worth $60,000 out there to old Sam. I don't know what to do about that. He went and caught him 300 foxes. I don't know how he did it, but he did. And with something, he tied their tails together and set them afire, and he brought them over here to the edge of the field. Now, he had other options. He could have taken a box of matches and went here, started a little fire, and went over here and started a little fire, and went over here. And old Sam over here at his house, he could have said, "My God, look yonder. I see a little smoke over in that southwest corner. I'll go over and put that out." And he'd went over and put that out, and that'd been that. He'd found out who'd done it and boxed him on the head, and that'd been a poor story, but this is a good story. He went over here and he throwed this pair of foxes out, and their tails are fire. Have you any imagination at all? He throwed one over here, and flipping and flapping and barking and yelping and rolling, trying to get their tails apart and trying to put that up with it. Now, scaring the other one getting more excited, exciting him. Just flip, flop, flip, flop, flip, flop, flop. The whole field was afire in 13 seconds. The problem of us trying to have a revival is in an orderly fashion, we think we're going to preach them in just from the pulpit. And we take our matches, strike them, start over here and say, "How do you do, Mom?" She'd say, "Boy, I saw a spark." But if you can get you a bunch of saints and turn them loose, tie their tails together, allow them to flip and flop and be irregular and crazy and wild and joyful and turn them loose, they'll set that city aside. But if you've got to have everybody answer to you for everything about every situation, and being sure they do it your way, that Philistine will get all that wheat in. Now, under the Old Testament, get this, brother. Under the Old Testament, it had to be thus and so. So much so that you couldn't plant two kinds of beans in the same garden, right? You couldn't plant two varieties of tomatoes. You couldn't plant two kinds of corn. You couldn't plant sweet corn, field corn in the same garden. No, no. Everything had to be just right. Well, you couldn't even wear linen and wool the same day. It's a delight to me to find out that God said His preachers couldn't wear wool breeches. Saints keep making them and putting them on Him, but I won't have them. I ain't wearing wool breeches. I'm going to work it like I'm comfortable at it. Preachers are not responsible to the saints and responsible to the board. You answer to us. Okay, I just got off my leash there a minute. Talk about the concept of abundance. 300 foxes could get it burnt down before his enemy could restore his security. In the Old Testament view, and rightly dividing the word of truth, we have Old Testament concepts of no hybridization. No hybridization. That meant if you had white cattle, you could not run a black bull. Got it? If you had Rhode Island Reds, you couldn't put a New Hampshire Red Rooster in there. Keep it straight, boy. That's under the mom and pop system of deliberately keeping it small. You can understand and be a bit more sympathetic with Jonah not wanting to go down and sell it to the competitors. All he had ever heard was the promised people, the promised land, the chosen seed of Abraham. Look at here, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the way it came, but that wasn't all the children Abraham had. He had Ishmael, a full son of Abraham that makes him. He ain't the right color. He ain't got a card. Abraham, Isaac. Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Esau was a stronger character. Makes him. He hunts too much. It was so tight, and it kept on getting tighter, that when Peter saw this vision where it says, "Rise, slay and eat," and he said, "Not so, Lord. All my life I have never eaten anything unclean or common." And the Holy Spirit showed it to him again and said, "Rise, Peter, slay and eat." And he looked at that wild, woolly, creeping, unclean looking stuff. "Come on, that chew that could." But didn't have a split hoof. He couldn't use that. I'm glad I'm a Gentile. I couldn't have eaten a catfish if I hadn't been a Gentile. Didn't have scales on it. I'm glad I'm a Gentile. I love pork. If I'd have been a Jew, I could just seen a porker come by at the county fair, and I just went. My life would have been restricted. Can't have him, son. Got to keep it straight. Got to keep it legal. Oh, boy, I see something coming to you. Somebody go raise that door there. If that's east of Texas, get it up for me, because here I come, ready or not. In the peaceable kingdom vision of Isaiah, the bear would lie down with the lamb, and the lion would lie down with the calf, and the lion would eat straw like an ox, and a little child would play on the mouth of the cockatrice den. Nothing, he said, harms will be in that kingdom. So the little child will lead that lion. The little child will have a shoestring around this lion's neck leading him along. Not somebody for Ringling and Brothers. Ringling Brothers been doing that all his life with a pistol on his side. But here comes our grandchild, little granddaughter, along with a shoestring. She went out there and got him. She said, come on, lion. Come on, come on, come on. And he just comes right along. Something pretty bad happened to him, that lion. Just my personal opinion, now do not ask you to agree with me. I don't think that's a zoological transformation that will happen in the millennium. I think that is a prophecy of the power of the gospel to change the nature of Gentiles and Jews and put them together in peace in a unified one body of Christ. I think that means that bears and lions will be so changed after receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost that they'll be congenial and compatible with lambs and calves. That's what I think that means. When the revival move among us first began, it often began among the hippie crowd. And we had, as Brother Tenney referred to that last night, somebody in aggravation and disdain and a bit of personal taken as perceived as an insult said these had the audacity to come and be seated on the front seat. The Old Testament concept was proper to see it that way. Just take a powder, pal. Just buzz off. We don't need your kind around here.
Come on.
I've got folks that don't want me to baptize people who's been divorced and remarried. Well, who do you expect me to get saved? I'm getting mine out of the net. I'm not getting mine out of God's barnyard. That's ago. A while ago. That people had any morals and any sins. About every month I have a marriage in my church. Do it in my office. These people have been shacked up for 6 years and got 3 or 4 fine little kids, and they get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They want to get married. Southern California pastor told me, he said, you know, I had a problem. He said, I had this black man that was married to this Japanese girl. And he said, they got the Holy Ghost. And he said, I baptized them. He said, when they had children, it was half Japanese and half black. And he said, lots of the pastors was on my neck about who I was going to let them get married to. He said, I thought there for a while I was going to have another Marine that would go to Japan and marry a Japanese woman and come back and get married and let me find them, let them get saved, let them have 3 girls so they could marry this couple's 3 boys. Hey, look, we're getting them out of the net. What was in that net? Common and unclean. Stuff that belched and bellered. Stuff that was woolly, had ticks and fleas. Stuff that clawed and fought. Stuff that smelled bad. Stuff that flew kind of funny. But he said, not so to it. Not so to it. I ain't never done it that way before. I study birds too. And I want to tell you about one bird now that's extinct. It got extinct since the merger. It was the Hookadoo Mimi bird. It loved where it had been so much that it always flew backwards. And it came to New York and hit the RCA radio tower. It loved where it had been so much it was not interested in where it was going. I want to show you something here. This represents vision that's limited. I imagine that being black, it's like a negative, it's backwards. See these three people? That's the vision of a lost world from the bottom of a beer can. Nobody want this. If we just hold our churches together, what we got? If we just keep our saints out of the world, we just keep our high standard of holiness and keep speaking in tongues and have the mind of God and keep supporting missionaries, that's about all you can do. It's going to be like the days of Noah, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved. That's the maintenance view. That's a good view. But a better view than that is that there is a heavy, heavy world, suffering, hurting, for whom Christ died, and for whom Christ has a dandy little plan to get them in if we can see it and work it. Let's wait on the Holy Spirit here a minute. Toward the Holy Spirit right now with lifted up hands and weeping eyes. The entire collection of our powers and talents and abilities and endowments and unctions and anointings, the sum of all we are, cannot attain what our minds do not confess. If we do not believe it is possible, being persons of integrity, we cannot bring ourselves, we cannot militate, we cannot organize ourselves, we cannot commence ourselves to do what we don't really believe is possible. We need to look again at what our serious commission is. Our blessed Lord has said, "Go ye into all the world." All the world. Speak it to every nation. And the exhaustive term, every creature. I'll pastor some creatures. I'll try to make saints out of them. I love what our preacher said last night. The phenomena of settled saints being aggrieved at the presence and the company of new ignorant saints. He said some well-meaning lady with an Old Testament concept of keep them rows straight saw this sinner woman come. She was dressed in pantsuits. We know that's unlawful. We know that's incorrect. We know that's not acceptable. But this lady told her not to come back no more like that. Well, that person has not had an ocular transmission. She's still seeing out of the same old traditional failure to rightly divide the Word of God. I want to go a little bit farther with this hybridization idea. Hybrid. After I became interested in genetics and breeding, we got out of the business right before the embryo transplants became very common. I wish I could have stayed and got into some of that. It's so revealing. But we did know something about hybridization. There are two types of cattle in the world. The humped cattle, which consists of 314 species, and the non-humped are the European cattle. And in species and subspecies between the humped and the non-humped cattle, the genetics are very different. For instance, the birth passage of European cattle, their tail is like this, and the passage from the uterus and the womb is uphill and constricted, and there are high rates of birth death among European non-humped cattle. But in the anatomy of the Brahman cattle, the tail falls, and the birth channel is utterly normal. And larger calves, healthier calves, with a much higher birth survival rate are born in that fashion. It's been demonstrated over and over that the Hereford cattle, which are some of the world's greatest, crossed with a humped cattle, the Brahman, in every case. The offspring lives longer than the Hereford breed or the Brahman breed. The heifer that comes from this will give more milk than either the Hereford breed or the Brahman breed. The calf will weigh more at weaning than either a purebred Hereford or a purebred Brahman. They will calve easier because of the combination of the birth canal. One of the problems of Hereford cattle is the udder gets out of size, and a cow sometimes with only a fifth calf has to be slaughtered because she can't continue to serve the milk. That doesn't happen with Brahman cattle. The udder in the bag is in a better structure with the cross than it is with either breed. If this is purebred and this is purebred, they're excellent cattle. You can always get a better animal by hybridization. That's why friars are so much better. Those of us that remember, you're old enough to remember when you went out and got a fryer off the yard. You know, it took a chainsaw to cut one and took a grinder to eat it. It's tough. But the crossing of different breeds of chickens have caused a much heavier proportion of breast white meat. It's an improvement. And when I came across those things and I wondered why God forbid these exceptional improvements, why He forbid His people to do that, it bothered me. Because I know God is always wise. And I know He's always for the best. And I've come to peace over that with God because I recognize that the Old Testament economy was one of restriction. God deliberately kept it little. It was just for the household of Abraham. Just through Isaac. Just through Jacob. There were priests. I looked at it again last year. It's bothered me so bad because I'm interested in the brotherhood. I'm interested in the movement. And I looked at it and I saw where it said that all these priests who came back from Babylonian captivity went up to get their uniforms, but wanted to serve, wanted to help, wanted to make a significant contribution to the religious life of the people. And they said, you can if you can find your name in this book right here. Now the scriptures make no argument that these were illegitimate claimants, that these were imposters trying to do the work of God. It's just that the record had been destroyed, and based on a technicality, no matter how much they cared, no matter what their talents, no matter what their contributions were, you can't get in here because of the technicality that the book that had your name in it got destroyed. You're out. You're done. You're bust. You're beat. You're fired. You're gone. Get food stamps. You can't work here. But the opposite of that is working now. He said He'd pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Old men are needed. Young men are needed if they can have vision. Now, I don't want that pastors would continue to grovel and to send barbed criticisms when they say, oh, Hunter got the Holy Ghost down there. That's 100 dingbats came by one night for a free Coke. That's what that was. Oh, don't say those things. How can you figure that hundreds get the Holy Ghost on the mission fields and you like it so well, you jump up and throw $100 bills in the basket and say, that's wonderful. But if a fellow across town, his church has 100, get the Holy Ghost, there's a tendency on some people's parts to say, I want y'all to stay away from that. That's wildfire. They're out of order. They're wild over there. They're going to cause a reproach. Have you heard of such things? They ought not to be. They ought not to be. I'm going to give the rest of the time to home missions here when I tell them the last story. I was in Chicago, June 29th. I've been overwhelmed with work and I wanted to be alone. For myself, I can be more alone in a megapolis than I can in the desert. And I decided I'd go to Southside. And I drove 51st Street, 32nd Street. I drove many of the streets of Chicago. It worked. I forgot about all my distresses when I saw high-rise apartments. Just like that. When I saw streets so worn. When I saw buses so crowded. When I saw the people not know each other, each suspicious of the other, watching each other as they passed each other on the sidewalks. And when I sat down in the restaurant myself, I sat with my back to the wall. People, people, people. The heavy crunch of it, the heavy crush of it. Chicago, Chicago. You know, when revival comes, all those people we see in Chicago will have the Holy Ghost. I couldn't find nobody that looked like they were Christians. I want revival. We talk about being a revival church and a revival district and all that, but it bothers me because nobody else on my cul-de-sac has no Holy Ghost. Nobody on my street's got the Holy Ghost. Very few in my subdivision have the Holy Ghost. What there needs to be is the place when you walk out and put your garbage, and the next guy comes out and put his trash for the trash truck. You say, praise the Lord, brother. Wasn't that a wonderful move of God last night? Tomorrow, I want to talk about breaking into the different strata of our society. When I was baptized, September 22, 1948, in a hole to the side of the United States 96 Highway, my pastor, C.B. Bass, of First Baptist Church of Silsbee, Texas, was present. He was sitting in a brand new 48 Dodge. He begged me, don't you do that. I said, but Brother Bass, I see it in the Word of God. I will do this. Well, he said, I want you to consider one thing. You know, being biblically accurate, son, is one thing. I have to admit you're right. But he said, you're taking what I see in you. And he told me what he saw in me. He said, you're taking that to give that to a bunch of sawmill hands churches. He said, all your life you're going to preach to the poor and to the unlettered and to the ignorant. He said, you'll never do what you can do. You'll never preach to lawyers and doctors and teachers and health care people. You'll never preach to scientists. You'll never preach to moneyed people. He said, you're going to preach to Kirby sawmill hands. He said, son, can't you see that? That the Pentecostal religion is highly restricted to the off-scours of American society. He said, can't you see nobody in that little church has even a high school education? Can't you see that? He said, if you'll stay with the Southern Baptist Convention, we are a cosmopolitan group. He said, if God's called you to preach to the poor, you can preach in our missions. But he said, don't cripple your life with a group who will never reach anybody but the poor. He was right. I'm boxed in, bound in, tied in, seaming it down to the bottom of the river. I've got to walk along the levee. I've got to preach to the poor. I'd like to see a breakthrough to where, like Paul, he reached the medical community. There was Luke traveling with him. He wrote about a letter and said, I greet you, so-and-so greets you. It said, the saints, it's in Caesar's household. Caesar's wife, Caesar's daughter, Caesar's youngest boy, they're here with us. They send you greetings. They reached Apollos, added to him the perfections of the gospel. I don't really want to live too much, but I want to live long enough to see principal American leaders. I want to see men with the baptism of the Holy Ghost trained and taught under a pastor in the United States Senate. I want to see the House of Representatives peopled by men sitting there who have pastors at home and they're saints, their wives and children are saints, and these men are saints at home. They're doing their work. I want to see the medical community at least sprinkled with men who are baptized in the Holy Ghost. It hurts me that people who wanted to make something of their lives, who wanted to serve suffering, needy humanity, who are achievers, who are winners, who are runners and not weary. It hurts me deeply to see us utterly ignore them and their caste. Tomorrow we'll talk about that. Thank you and God bless you all. Let's lift our hands and pray. God help us. God help us. God. Let's worship Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank God for what we have heard right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord.
Hallelujah.